The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The advice and opinions expressed by the host of Autism Live and her guests are meant solely as suggestion and should not be in any way construed as child-specific advice. Any choices you make in determining your child's treatment are completely at your own discretion.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy. I'm Nancy Allspot Jackson.
And I'm Shannon Penrod, and so thrilled to be here with all of you. You're looking great today, Nancy.
Thank you, honey. You look great. You look all cheery and blue.
Okay. Well, I hope. I'm tired today because we've spent, you and I both are kind of bleary-eyed because we've been watching a lot of Love on the Spectrum.
Right.
So we can catch up.
We have one of the featured players in Love on the Spectrum here with us today, Dani Bowman. So we're really excited to talk to her about the show and how that experience has been for her.
Absolutely. And before that, we are going to have another fabulous guest who, my goodness, I don't know how she has time to do all the things that she does, runs, is president of an amazing book publishing company, runs a division of it that's just about sensory stuff, is a children's author as well. We're talking about Jennifer Gilpin-Yasio from Future Horizons is going to be joining us in just a few minutes. But first, we wanted to say that we are not live right now. This is pre-recorded, but we're pre-recording on Wednesday evening. So you're seeing it just a couple of hours after we pre-recorded it. And I'm watching live with you right now. And the chat is open. So you can still be chatting and commenting and asking questions. And I know you guys are going to have a question for Dani, and you probably are going to have questions for Jennifer. You may have questions for Nancy. If you have questions, go ahead and write them in the chat. I'll make sure that they get to the right person so that, and maybe even during the hour, we'll have questions answered by them. So make sure that Traven is showing you all the different places where we are live right now. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And of course, about 12 other places. And don't forget that this show podcasts and is available wherever you get your podcasts. So that's our business there. But we love it when you like and share and tell other people. And I'm sure everybody's going to be talking about Love on the Spectrum. So share it with your friends so that they can see all the news that we have to offer here too. Which leads me to, we're about to do news in a second. But first, we always like to start off the show right now with why art, Nancy. So tell us what Wyatt's been up to.
Well, he's been painting a lot of giraffes, but I think I showed you a giraffe last week. But he painted one last night.
So beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Just stunning.
Yeah, he painted this giraffe last night.
The eyes are amazing.
Yeah, for a friend of mine who has a travel company called Flying Giraffe Travel.
So cool.
They wanted that for their office. And then Traven has a picture. That's an eye, obviously, that he painted. Something very different for him.
Yeah. Now, whose eye is that, Nancy?
Well, his art teacher showed him photographs of eyes. So he took that, he did a looked at a photograph of an eye. And painted.
Wow. I mean, the colors on that, it's just so intricate is what I'm trying to say. It's just stunning. So who is the proud owner of that painting now?
My friend Janet Heller bought that painting.
Amazing.
She bought that. She came over Saturday night. I had a little party here and she saw it and said, I want to buy that.
There you go. I love it.
putting in.
We didn't really say to you last week because you had a birthday in the last week. Happy birthday.
Yes, I did.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate it.
We're glad to have you one more trip around the sun. So anything else that you have to show us from Wyatt this week?
That's it for this week.
But the eyes, you posted on Facebook and you said the eyes have it. And boy, that is just the truth, Nancy. There's something about the way he captures expression in eyes. And oh, it's just, there's just something about it. Like, I think that's what makes that, and the way he, the mouths of the cows just are just amazing. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. You must be so proud of him.
I'll let him know. I am. He's become a great artist.
He really is. Amazing. And of course, where can people go to see on a regular basis what the art is that he's doing that week and potentially to order if they want to have a commission, a piece, and so on and so forth. What gives the 411?
On Facebook, it's YART, WYART, separate word, autism. And on Instagram, it's YART _ autism. So they can go to both of those to see his paintings. I usually post everything he does on there.
And thank you for spelling it out. We also we did a little experiment last week where in the past, what we've done is when we podcast both the video and the audio to all those podcast formats.
Right.
And some of you are downloading the video in podcast. What we did last week is we stopped that and said, we're just going to publish the audio portion and then ask you if you want to watch the video. It's available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for free on YouTube. So we want to make sure that we're directing you guys to go there, because what we're hearing from you, Traven is fabulous and did a survey, is that most of you would rather download just the audio for your podcast, but you get confused sometimes and you're downloading the video. That's expensive for us, to be honest. And it also takes up bandwidth for you. So we wanted to make it easy for everybody. Our content is available for free everywhere, but we're gonna move ahead for now with that. And it will just be available, the audio portion in podcasts. Unless you write to us and say, Shannon, Traven, I can't deal. I need that. And tell us why. So feel free to do that. But if you're confused and dazed and want to know why are you only getting the audio, that is why. So, and speaking of it costing us money, we're going to pause for just a second so that we can hear from one of our sponsors. Let's hear from Zpod.
My Zpod, it helps me sleep.
It's easier for an autistic person to sleep in there.
A Zpod helps me sleep better.
So Zpod allows for complete control of your sleep environment.
The big idea is, how do we help people sleep better? I'm George Bailey, and I'm the president of Zpods.
My name is Jeff Wade, and I am one of the co-founders of Zpods.
I like that I can close the Zpod and that it's around me so nothing can come in there.
Micah is 10. She was staying up for like 3 days at a time. We tried weighted blankets, melatonin. We've tried a sleep study because we thought she had sleep apnea. My experience with the Zpod has been wonderful. Micah's sleep has changed tremendously. I'm getting more sleep because she's getting sleep.
Because of her autism diagnosis and her schizophrenia diagnosis, she was up all night.
And I wasn't doing well in school. I used to sleep in the closet.
That was the only place that she was feeling comfortable at the time. Since she started with the Zpod, her sleeping has improved. The first night, she was in bed, on time, and asleep.
My son, Juden, he's neurotypical. It takes him 2 hours to get to bed at night. But with Zpod, it's completely transformed his sleeping.
With Joseph, he's autistic. He's very high energy, high anxiety. Joseph would just bounce around his room all the time at night. Joseph has been using his bed now for almost 2 years. It has become like a real nook for him, just a place where he just feels restored.
Helped him decompress, helped him wind down.
I read in my Zpod, I play games in my Zpod.
Now that he's sleeping better, I think that all of us are sleeping better. We have taken All of the suggestions that we've received from parents about how we can improve this technology. And we've put together a really exciting new bed that we're going to be releasing onto the market.
So we've partnered with a local manufacturer who's invested into Z-Pod.
We've got speakers in the new Z-Pods that will allow you to play nature tracks or meditation tracks.
We're going to be creating what we call a sleepscape, where the sleep environment changes according to your individual preference. What we want to do is we want to give a name to sleep that gets kids excited to do this thing that is critical to their health.
I could recommend it to good people. Have you ever slept in the Z-Pod?
Welcome back. I don't know about you, Nancy, but I have fallen in love with the children in that piece. I just love when he says, I will sleep better. and when he says, I would recommend it to good people. I just adore the children. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you to Z-Pods for being a fabulous sponsor. So it's time for In the News, Nancy. And we've got a couple of interesting things.
Yes, this first story is very interesting. It's about Somalis, the Somali population in Minnesota, and how they are trying to create new terms for their children with autism, because the Somali language hasn't included a word for autism. A lot of the phrases they were using were very negative and created stigmas and misunderstandings. So these parents have advocated for new terms to be used.
Yes, I love language. I love words. I think you do too, Nancy.
Yes.
And I've argued a lot that in the English language, we should be adding more words to describe autism because it's trying to cover something that cannot be covered in one word. And I don't know about you, but I think that that leads to 9/10 of the confusion that there is in the world. Because when you say autism, it, even if you're someone who lives in this world, and is on this journey, we don't know what that means because it's a spectrum. And, but this is so dire to me that, in the Somali language, because there was no word for autism, they were using a word that basically translated to slow-minded, which is just tragic. I mean, talk about putting a stigma on top of someone, but now they've created a new word, which means unique mind.
Yes.
I just want to find these parents and hug them.
Yeah, it's down to two words. One of them, Mangar, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is the one that translates to unique mind. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And what a much better way of phrasing that.
Absolutely.
That is much more accepting. So I hope that these parents will now put their minds to the English words and help us to come up with new words.
You know, I was not aware until reading this article that the word autism comes from the Greek word for being withdrawn into oneself.
I don't think that I realized that before this article either. But isn't it time? It's time to have new words.
Yes, for sure.
Will someone who's a bright mind figure that out and just tell us? We'll be on board.
Okay.
There we go. And then interesting article in Barron's this week, as we've been talking so much about the need for diversity and inclusion in all areas of employment, right? All areas of business.
Right.
Barron's comes out with this amazing little read, How Advisors with Autism, ADHD, and Other Neurodivergent Traits Are Stepping Out of the Shadows. Turns out that many of the top minds who are already working in this field are neurodiverse.
Yes, which is really no surprise.
No surprise whatsoever. But this is a great read in Barron's, talking about why these people are coming forward. You know, we've featured Temple Grandin before on the show, and last year, Temple was talking about a pilot who disclosed that they were neurodiverse and subsequently lost their ability to fly for that company. They grounded him. And she said, I'm horrified that at this time I'm encouraging people already working in professional fields to protect themselves and not disclose. So I can't wait to talk with her about this, about these individuals' decision to step out of the shadows and say, yep, that's who I am, and be in this very powerful position to help others who need to disclose and still want to be employed.
Yes, they've launched a support group. There's a support group that the Financial Planning Association has launched called the Neurodivergent Planner Knowledge Circle.
Which, you know, absolutely amazing. I think we can all acknowledge that there are many traits within the spectrum of autism that would lend itself very well to being good in finance. And we've seen this across the board. Pretty amazing. And then our last news story today, of course, from Spectrum News, which we really love. There's a new study that's out talking about fevers and children on the autism spectrum. Now, this is something that we had covered several years ago, Nancy, that there were some preliminary studies talking about fevers, and that for some children that are on the spectrum, when they experience a fever, there seems to be a cessation of some of their autism symptoms.
Excuse me.
Bless you. So now, did Wyatt ever experience this phenomenon when he had a fever?
Yes, he did, in fact.
And so what was different for him? Because Jem did too.
I've got another sneeze coming.
Oh, dear. It's allergy season in Southern California. Bless you.
He was more verbal and calmer.
And Jem was able to access his words better when he had a slight fever. If it was a high fever, forget it. But if he had a slight fever, he was able to speak and say things that he couldn't when he didn't. So
yeah,
Same thing to Wyatt. And a lot of us went down that path. In fact, there were many studies that were done suggesting that maybe there is a chemical reaction that happens in the brain when there's a slight fever that can be mimicked with basically a chemical that's in broccoli sprouts. So there was a big phase for a while that a lot of us put our kids on some broccoli sprout supplements because it was such a high amount that you had to give that you couldn't just feed them broccoli sprouts. But now this new study tells us maybe this is not a thing. Do you want to talk about this, Nancy?
Yeah. It says that most autistic children, like their non-autistic peers, become less social and less communicative and more irritable when they have a fever. That's a new unpublished study. It was just released the 12th of May in 2022, International Society for Autism Research annual meeting. And they said it flies in the face of the reports that, anecdotal reports that suggested that fever eases behavioral difficulties in autistic.
Yeah, they have some criticism that it seems like the way the questions were asked in the original study may have been biased towards, but I don't know. I wasn't part of the original study. I don't think you were either. But when we saw that original study, we both said, wait a second, that's our kids too.
Right.
And they did say in this research that there were a percentage of kids that did have this phenomenon, but it was much smaller than we were led to believe in the first study.
Right.
So definitely requires more to be looked at, but in this particular study, the vast majority of kids, and they looked at both kids that were neurotypical and kids who were neurodiverse, the vast majority of all of them, surprise, didn't feel well when they had a fever. And thus, in fact, didn't have some of their symptoms removed. And in some cases, it was actually worse. But that makes sense to me as well.
Right. Me too.
That's what I would have expected. But again, there is a small percentage of kids that the exact opposite is true. Not that any of us would wish for our kids to have regular fevers, right?
Right. But
as they're looking for medicines to help with some of the more challenging aspects of autism, I certainly noticed in my son that when he was able to find his words, he was much happier. right. that he could find his words. And even said to me since then, I like it when I can find my words without having to struggle to find them.
Right. Right.
So in any case, those are our news stories for today. But we have two amazing guests. If you guys have tuned in to see Dani from Love on the Spectrum, she's coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, we have another amazing guest. Would you like to introduce her, Nancy?
Sure. And I don't want to slaughter her name, so she'll have to correct me when she comes on. Jennifer Gilpin Yasio, or maybe Yasio, is president of Future Horizons and its subsidiary, Sensory World. Ever since her younger brother was diagnosed with autism in 1982, she's been interested in autism and how people are affected by their senses. Jennifer is excited to be writing children's books now. It was a longtime dream of hers. She is the author of I Have an Autism Boost, Temple Did It, and I Can Too, and COVID Isn't Fair. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Oh, here I am. Hi.
Hi. How do you say your last name?
It's Yasio.
Yasio. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, so happy to have you to the show with us today. And tell us about your inspiration for working in the field of autism.
Well, that would be my brother. I give a brief history of Future Horizons. We started in the 80s. This is a very different world of autism than what we had now. In the 80s, when my little brother was diagnosed with autism, everything out there was doom and gloom. It was, your child has autism, maybe think about an institution. They're not going to speak. They're not going to have friends. It was very, at least compared to now, very, very doom and gloom, really. And my father, some of you may know or remember Wayne Gilpin. He got involved with the Autism Society of America and then ran for president of it because he didn't ever do anything halfway and became very involved. Realized that with the books out there, he didn't like them. And so he decided to write his own book of just a collection of all the stories out there that he would meet. Everyone he would talk to would say, oh, my kid said this, and oh, my kid said this. And yeah, they have such a great different perspective. So he put together a little book called Laughing and Loving with Autism. Took it down to the local bindery, printed up a few, like maybe 100, took it to the Autism Society meeting and sold out within an hour. And that's, in a nutshell, how Future Horizons started, is wanting to give a different perspective of what autism is. Because, these kids are, they give a outlook on the world that we need.
Right.
And sometimes they make us go, oh, wait a minute. We've been thinking about that wrong. So that's kind of how it began. And then people would come to him and say, oh, you have to publish this book. You have to publish, look, I wrote something. So it all kind of snowballed. And that's amazing. How Future Horizons came to be. At this time, of course, I was a kid, so I can't claim that I had too much to do with it, except for watching it all evolve. Then, of course, I grew up and fell into the family business and haven't looked back.
Amazing. And you're doing a lot of things with the family business. Jennifer, I want to say we're having a little bit of feedback from your microphone. I think it's just when you move. It's rubbing up against something. So sometimes holding it up just so that it doesn't rub against something will be helpful. But one of the things that you have done is that you now have accomplished a lifelong dream and you are an author of children's books, which is just amazing. Let's talk about the three books and who they might be right for.
Okay. Well, this first one I did was Temple Did It and I Can Too. And this just came like, sometimes I'm sitting there going, someone needs to write a book about Temple for kids. And that's, I was like, looking around, I was like, well, I'll do it. And so that's kind of how it happened. And of course, worked with Temple, who I've known, gosh, since I was 9. She's just amazing. She's so lovely to work with. So, and of course, she doesn't hold anything back. If you put something in the book that's not right, she'd be like, no. That's So I would call her a co-author. She didn't want to be called a co-author because a lot of it, she's like, no, you can't have that. You have to have this. So really, here we go. I think of it as Temple's book, but I kind of had something to do with it. But what it is I kind of boil down all of Temple's little life rules. If you listen to her talks, which obviously I did a lot, kept saying, okay, this is something she says people should always do. This is something she says. So I kind of boiled it down to her 7 life rules. And that's what this book is. It's about a little kid going up to Temple saying, how do I do it? Like, this is what you need to do. And there it is. So I think this book is for anybody. It's kind of how to go through life, things that you need, perspectives you need to go through life and to be successful, and how she did it. But specifically for people with autism, I would say. But
and then the other two books?
The other two, well, the...
And Traven has the pictures of them as well. I don't know if you've got them there at the ready, Traven. But no, Traven has them too, I think. But so let's talk about the next one.
Well, COVID isn't fair. Probably not all that necessary right now, thank goodness. But it came at a time when, obviously, 2020, everything shut down. And I actually came up with 2 books at that time. As you may know, it takes roughly a year just to go from manuscript to finished product. And I turned around 2 books, Autism in Lockdown and COVID Isn't Fair, within a couple months. So we kind of screeched on the brakes and turned everything around. So Autism in Lockdown, I went ahead and just contacted all of our authors who are wonderful. And you are one of them now. And I'm sure you would have done the same thing. I said, do you have an essay? Do you want to talk to about what's going on with COVID right now? Because everything changed. And a lot of times, everybody has difficulty with change, but people with autism, very much so. So I pulled out Autism in Lockdown. Not holding this up very well. But anyway, I pulled that one out rather quickly, and that's just thanks to our wonderful authors and getting that out. Then at the same time, I said, somebody needs to write one like that for the kids. It's like, I guess somebody is me. So I came up with COVID Isn't Fair, and I have so many emotions. This is kind of talking about all the emotions people were going through at the time, going through lockdown and not being able to see people they love and routines being upset. Anyway, so hopefully people don't need this so much anymore, but it's around. I'm thinking of redoing it in a way because it talks about the different emotions that people were going through. And I think that's kind of necessary for everybody to figure out what to do with anger you have inside, or sadness, or all the things that people were going through. People still do for other reasons. So I might tweak that a little bit about emotions.
And there was a third children's book. Yes. I have an autism boost, correct?
Yes. Yes, that's my newest one. Again, same theme is looking at the positives that come with having autism. And there really wasn't a children's book out there like that. I thought someone should write one. So I did. It's a similar theme. And talking about all the good things you can have when you have the boost, instead of talking about, oh, I'm different, I do this differently, and I do this differently. It's like, hey, I can do this, I can do that, and to look at it in a much more positive light.
How refreshing, amazing. Jennifer. But tell us, where can we get these books? How can people access them?
You should be able to get them anywhere, wherever you usually get. Of course, you can get it through futurehorizons.com, but they are also available Barnes & Noble, Amazon, everywhere that you typically go to buy books, wherever your favorite place is. If it's not Future Horizons, then you can go to those other places.
But there are so many wonderful things, and thank you for acknowledging that. I am thrilled to be a new Future Horizons author. And
yes, just a few weeks.
I know, and have had such a wonderful experience with you guys. And I'm very excited to be included. And it was something that happened because our dear friend, Joanne Laura, who passed away two years ago, said to me before she pretty much tasked me with this. And she was like, you reach out to them and you finish your book and you publish this. And so I did. So there we have it.
Wonderful.
But you also have an entire different division of Future Horizons mm-hmm. that is so amazing, Jennifer. I want you to talk about Sensory World and what people will find there, because I don't think enough people know about this.
It's amazing because sensory dysfunctions, they affect like 1 in 6 kids. It's really an amazing number of people. And the more I learned about it, I was like, oh, I'm one of those kids. Growing up, things would bother me that didn't bother other people. And it's funny because you go through life, you just assume that everybody's experiencing the world the way you do. And I would think, wow, everybody else is handling these horrible loud noises so much better than me. But then once you start reading into it and learning, they're not experiencing it the same way. So it was very interesting to learn about that. But Sensory World came out of learning about, you know, sensory processing disorder and realizing that it was a completely different division than autism. Obviously, you know a lot about sensory issues when you know and love somebody with autism. But what we realized was that there were so many people out there that had sensory issues that did not necessarily have autism and would not be going to an autism publisher looking for sensory books. It would just not occur to them. So we decided to make a separate division for so-called Sensory World.
And how are parents using the resources they find there?
Well, hopefully they're using them with their kids or turning them over to teachers. A lot of it is to learn about how your child might be experiencing the world differently and to empathize more and be able to change the way you do things. You know, there's always the old story, at least it's old to me, about a little boy who kept just throwing a fit every time he had to go put on his shoes at the end of the day. And it wasn't until later that it was in a nursery school that they realized that where they went to put his shoes on was right by the diaper pail.
Mm.
And even though it was covered and it wasn't as strong, so it was enough for the child to just throw a fit. So to become more aware of things like that. And then there are little tricks or more things to learn about every kind of sense. So that's what we focus on.
So how do people find Sensory World? How do they get there?
It's sensoryworld.com.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Nice and easy.
There we go.
Jennifer, is Future Horizons going to start doing conferences with Temple Grandin again?
We hope so. That is our plan. It seems like with COVID, everything's been a moving target. And to say like, okay, 6 months from now, we're going to be safe to do a conference, right? We can throw a bunch of people in a room in 6 months, right? It would always look like it. We kind of start ramping up to it and then be like, yeah, I don't know. I'd always rather be more cautious than, especially with getting a large group of people together. But it's looking good. We're looking at the fall, knock on wood, and hoping that everything will work out for early October, maybe.
Well, thank you for all of the work from your family. Your father was a legend and will always be in so many people's hearts. And it's so amazing to see you carry on his work. And I'm deeply appreciative for all the books that I have gotten from Future Horizons. And now to be a part of that is a huge, big deal for me and for our family. Well, I'm thrilled about it. So where do people go to find Future Horizons? Tell them all your websites and social media so that they can find Future Horizons, although we talk about it all the time.
Oh, thank you. It's fhautism.com or go into Facebook, look for Future Horizons, Instagram, Twitter, all those good things. We're out
there. You'll find so many things there, so many resources that you'll it's like Christmas. You want to put everything in your cart. It really is. Thank you so much for being here and for all that you do, Jennifer.
Thank you,
Jennifer. Thank you for being on the show.
Nice to meet you.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Just amazing. I don't know if you've been to Sensory World, but for those of you watching at home, but oh, it's just, you just see so many things there that you go, oh, I'd like to get that and I would need to get this book. And oh, that looks like a fascinating read. Mm-hmm. I used to love to go and spend hours in bookstores, Nancy. It's, there are fewer and fewer of them, but you really can do it virtually. And if you're looking for anything having to do with sensory or with autism, Future Horizons really is the place to start. They really have amazing resources there. But it's time, my friends. I don't know about all of you. Nancy and I were up late and early watching Love on the Spectrum, which just came out on Netflix. This is the Love on the Spectrum US version. And we would have been watching it anyway, but it's especially fun that we know some of the participants this time around because it's being done in the US. So and one of them we know really well.
Yes. Today, we are going to be joined by Dani Bowman. Dani is a special friend of the show. We have had her on before, but now we're here to talk about her experience with Love on the Spectrum. Dani was diagnosed with autism at the age of 3 and proved doctors wrong that said she wouldn't amount to much. She founded her own animation studio, Danimation Entertainment, at the age of 14. She's produced 11 award-winning films, and she ran her company all the while, earning a BFA in animation and then an MBA in management and leadership. So she's here to join us. She is appearing now in Love on the Spectrum USA on Netflix. Welcome, Dani.
But she also, wait, before we get to that, Nancy, not only is she appearing on that, but she has also been doing some guest appearances for us on our new show, Stories from the Spectrum, which the first episode came out last month, and you got to see Dani on a trip going to New York to win an award. And now tomorrow, episode 2 comes out, and we'll get to see the part 2 of that, where Dani really talks about her journey with animation. And I think it's a wonderful piece that goes quite well, because if I was watching Love on the Spectrum and I saw what I'm seeing, I would want to know more about Dani. I would want to know, how did she start this company? What is her vision? Why is she so interested in animation? Why is being a businesswoman so at the core of who she is and what she's doing? And she talks about some of that on tomorrow's episode of Stories from the Spectrum. You're not going to want to miss that. That will appear right here, and then it'll be available as a podcast. So, definitely you want to be checking out Love on the Spectrum US, but then also check out the 2 episodes of Stories from the Spectrum. So now let's bring Dani in.
Let's bring Dani on.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today, Shannon? And Nancy, it's been a while.
How are you, Dani?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much.
Good. Wow. We loved watching the episodes with you of Love on the Spectrum, and we want to talk about that today. And tell us, first of all, what was it like filming it?
So what was it like? It's like making the show coming to life. It's so amazing just to see myself on camera, and I didn't mind the cameras at all, because
you're a natural, Dani.
Yes. Well, you're so stunningly beautiful, and you are, the camera just loves you, and you're such an interesting and talented person. I guess I want to know, Dani, so it finally came out, and I want to know, have you seen the whole thing now by this point?
I did, yes. Did all 6 episodes, and this looks so terrific.
So are you happy? What do you think? Do you like the way you came out on it? Are you happy? Because it's always edited. We have to acknowledge that they don't include everything. And sometimes, people are like, oh, I wish they'd included this. But are you happy with how it was edited and how you came out of it?
Definitely it did.
Okay.
It's not scripted, though.
No, not scripted at all. It was just your life and so many other people's lives.
What has been your most surprising reaction from people when they find out you're on the show?
A lot of actions, I received very positive remarks about how I'm being on the show. It's Danny and something like that. And there's some funny ones too. Like I'm just stuck in an anime English dub thing. That was funny.
Well, but that is one of your interests. And I just said that tomorrow we're going to show the second half of the pieces that you made for us from Stories from the Spectrum so people can see why you're so into anime and why you're so into animation and why you're an amazing businesswoman. And I don't know how much you're allowed to say, and we don't want to do spoiler alerts here because I think the most people haven't watched the whole thing yet, so I don't want to give anything away yet, but it's all out. You can watch all of it. But Danny, I think the big question in everybody's mind as they start to watch it is, and I'm not going to say which guy because I don't want to give things away, but there's a guy that it seems like you are very interested in and you're very into, and we see you getting ready to go on a second date with him, and then the next time we see you, you put him in the friend zone. But we don't know why. Are you allowed to tell us what happened in between, or are we not allowed to talk about that?
We'll talk about it. Yes.
Okay.
So for my second date, I'm just looking for, we're just keeping ourselves taking it. Then again, we're just making sure that we take it slow as possible. And for my second date, I'm just getting to know him.
And then you decided maybe you would be better off being friends.
But then I find out for Solomon, I found out that there is some, he's not quite compatible.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough.
You didn't think he had the same goals, life goals as you had, correct?
Yeah. Solomon didn't have the same life goals as I do, but
But no one is as motivated as you are, Danny. You are driven. You are somebody that you see very clearly the path, and you know, you're a woman who knows what she wants, which is amazing. But I don't know, like, you know, as somebody who is one of the older women on the sideline, I just want to warn you that there are very few people in life that are going to be as driven as you are.
I agree. You are super driven. You're driven to the max, and you may not be able to find a man as driven as you. How does that, think about that?
You're right. It's just extremely rare to find somebody who is as driven as I am.
But you might find somebody who really does it for you that isn't as driven as you are. It might happen. It might happen.
But Danny, one of the things you happen to say on the show is that real business women don't cry. Where did you get that idea from?
Well, that idea, I came up with myself. It's due to common sense. What business women don't cry in public, but privately.
Okay. All right.
They're allowed to cry because I've been a businesswoman in my life, and believe me, I've cried plenty of times.
Me too. I cried yesterday.
Cried yesterday. Hey, Shannon.
Yes, and I cry publicly. I just cry publicly. My eyes leak all the time. I got to be honest with you, and maybe that's being unprofessional for me, but I believe that we should have our emotions and that people should see us have our emotions. But you don't. You say no, I got to be a businesswoman and I got to be professional. Is that correct?
That is correct. Stay professional is a good thing. You hold it till you go find somewhere private.
All right. I can't do that. I just leak and cry. But that's me. Now, you worked with a coach on the show. What was that like for you? Was that helpful?
I thought it was very helpful. Jennifer Cook, even though she is very helpful with lots of dating advices, unfortunately, that didn't make it to the cut.
Yeah, I noticed that we didn't see that. We saw her working with some of the other people in the show, but we didn't see you end up working with her. But you really think that she helped you?
She did, yes, Jennifer Cook. What she only helped is the ones that made it is Abby Ansado. Did I get his name right?
I think so. Those were both really cute storylines. Tell us, Danny,
next for you in the dating world.
What's next for me? So hopefully once probably I'm looking forward to the next filming if Love on the Spectrum announces a second season. If the second season's announced, that would be really amazing.
So you'd be willing to do it again and go on more dates?
Definitely.
All right. I want to be like a Yenta, Nancy. I want to be on the committee that picks who you go out with. Like, I want to pick somebody out for you. I want to be one of the matchmakers. So Danny, let's talk a little bit about, because your popularity is skyrocketing because people are seeing this and seeing what an amazing, amazing professional driven woman that you are. They're also seeing that you're beautiful and that you have a lot to bring to a dating situation. If people want to know more about you, where do you tell them to go?
If people want to know more about me, they can find me on www.danimationentertainment.com. You could find me on Facebook under Danny Bowman and Danny Mation, Twitter, Danny Mation ENT, Instagram, Danny Bowman 1, LinkedIn, Danny Bowman, and also Danny Mation. Or you could just Google me.
Yeah, absolutely. And tomorrow we're going to be debuting that part two of the series that you did for us from Stories from the Spectrum. The first part, we got to go with you as you went to New York to get an award. Tell us what's in that second part. I talked about a little bit before, but tell us from your point of view what that part two is about.
The part two is more about my origin story of how I get to be where I am today with all the accomplishments and the success.
Yeah, we've been having you on the show for many, many years. I think the first time you were on the show, you might have been 14.
That's right.
And I was just stunned.
My son had discovered your children's book, Danny and Goliath, and that was one of his favorite books growing up.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, he loved it.
And you were already starting to teach at that young age. Was that your idea? Was that Joey Travolta's idea? Who had the original idea and said, wait a second, Danny should be teaching this to other kids on the spectrum?
Well, it's all thanks to Joey's encouragement to, why don't you teach animation? Joey Travolta is the one who gave me the wings to fly to teach animation to use on the autism spectrum across the country and also in the UK as well later on.
Okay.
If people want to study with you, Danny, how do they go about doing that? How do they go about learning animation?
If anybody would like to learn about animation, you can go to the Danny Mation Entertainment has a one-on-one session where people can buy the packages. We've different class, and also we also provide weekly free classes for anybody who is interested.
Oh, great.
Just amazing. So for people who don't know and have never seen Love on the Spectrum before, let's talk a little bit, because this is a Netflix show that's already a hit, but this is a new version of it that's Love on the Spectrum US, because the first two seasons, was it Australia or New Zealand? I'm sorry that I don't know. That's embarrassing.
That's Australia.
Australia. And it was fascinating. Boy, we were all riveted to it in COVID. And then at some point they decided to make a U.S. version of it. And how did you get hooked up with that, Danny? Like, were there auditions? How did you get hooked up?
I got hooked up by email. As far as I could remember, it was a while ago when I first approached to get filmed to be part of the show. Ian contacted us to see if we knew of anyone who may be interested in taking part of this cool new dating show that was a big hit in Australia and was coming to the U.S. At that time, no one was familiar with Kian in the show, but I thought it would be a great opportunity to find love because I'm always busy. That's hard for me to find the time. And I've been very trusting, and I've never been very trusting of dating websites. Ugh, too many.
What are we looking at there on this picture that Traven's showing? What is this, Danny?
That is me teaching animation to youth on the autism spectrum. That's supposed to make it to the cut, but unfortunately, it didn't.
Okay. We have some other pictures here. There you are again teaching. Absolutely.
Yes, these
amazing.
Are behind the scenes from Love in the Spectrum.
Amazing.
And there's me with Jennifer, another one that didn't make it to the cut.
And that's Kian, right? With you? And Kian's Kian's the director, the producer of all of the Love on the Spectrum. He's really, because we get to hear sometimes the questions that he asks you guys. I have heard, I think from you and from other people, that he is just a wonderful, kind presence on the set. Is that how you would say it?
Yes, that's what I would say, alongside with some of his crew members like Emily and Jessica. They're like my wing people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing. And do we have more pictures, Trayvon? Or is that the... Oh, there you are.
That's another behind the scenes. This time, me having a conversation with Jennifer Cook. Well, that didn't make it to the cut.
But Danny, you're used to being around cameras. Was it at all weird to have them invade your house and not be in charge? Because normally when the cameras are there, you're in charge.
Not at all. I didn't really mind about cameras being around me. The picture on the right, as you see, that's me and Emily.
Well, you were absolutely a natural on camera, I have to say. You didn't appear to be at all nervous or reticent about sharing your feelings. Have you always been so uninhibited, Danny, in terms of being having people film you?
Yeah.
And this is a picture of your aunt and uncle who've been...
Yeah, they're like watching me. They're like,
they've figured largely into your life. You live with them. What do they think about these first six episodes?
They thought they were so amazing. And Sandy was definitely floored and she was laughing out loud. Patrick, there she is.
There's Sandy. Come on in, Sandy. I'm so glad that you're there because you know people want to know what the deal is with why did you think it was a good idea to give her a shot of tequila before going on a date, Sandy?
Well, I never thought that was going to make the cut.
Of course it made the cut. What were you thinking, Sandy?
Oh, my goodness. What wasn't thinking? So Danny's very, as a matter of fact, and straightforward, as you guys know. So she hadn't dated in several years, right? And so I wanted her to relax because she could, if she doesn't like somebody, she'll just tell them exactly how she feels. And I kept telling her, just, be nice, even if you're not, too attracted to them, just relax. And so usually sometimes when we do that, like we're going somewhere where she's going to be nervous, we'll have a little bit of a shot just to, take the edge off. So I did that and I never thought it was going to make the cut.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's how she got. But actually, it was the opposite. She totally was, infatuated by Solomon, from the very, very first look, that I guess, that they looked at each other.
Well, yes, and I found myself wondering how much of that was the tequila and how much of it was... He was cute, Danny. He was cute.
Yes, he was cute and definitely so good looking. Adon is cute, too. But yes, I was attracted to Adon's humor.
Yeah, he was a little bit heartbroken, wasn't he, Danny?
Yeah.
I think he definitely had it going on for you.
Yeah, I think they had it going on for each other. They really cared for each other. But the more they got to know each other, they started dating after the camera stopped rolling.
Right.
And the more they got to know each other, the more they realized that it was really difficult for them to carry on a relationship because they really had nothing in common. Her initial thought when they first met, she really liked him, she was attracted to him, but she thought, we have nothing in common. How are we ever going to see each other? He doesn't drive, I don't drive, he lives on opposite sides of town. How are we ever going to see each other? How are we ever going to, what are we going to talk about? And how are we going to, so those were her initial thoughts, right? But then she was so attracted to him that she said, the heck with it, as most women do, right?
Right. Well, that was the thing that really struck me about that whole first date. And it's in the first episode, you guys. You really got to watch it because what's amazing to me about it is that usually when people go on a date, there's all the things that get said, but there's all the things that don't get said that are in people's minds. And I can't tell you how many times, Danny, I've had girlfriends call me from a first date and say just exactly what you said out loud. He's so hot. I think I'm in love. And the girls, women, grown women say that kind of thing all the time, but you were speaking it out loud. And I think Trayvon has a clip. Shall we go to the clip?
Oh, great.
Let's take a look at the clip.
Danny, one thing that people certainly can't say about you is that you are not upfront. You are definitely honest to the core, and evident in the show that you let your feelings be known. Right, you put them right out there, don't you?
Yeah, and that's the reason why I gave her the shot of tequila, because I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought she wasn't going to like the first date. And
she survived it. Everybody survived it. It was just funny. But, you know, so at this point, Danny, you're still excited to find love?
Definitely.
I hope, your guy is out there. I just hope you find him sooner as opposed to later.
And what I need to do is just, I just need to keep going deeper onto the surface. I need to keep going under the surface for who this person is a little bit more.
Are you going to wait till the last they film again to date again? Or are you just,
it doesn't really matter. I could be able to find a plan with my next date.
Right. So she's
like you said, Danny, you said it. You've got to kiss a lot of frogs to find the prince.
Right? Oh, speaking of frogs, she's got a little frog animation that she actually did, but I guess we can't do it. We can't show it. But she was on.
I was at. We have the receipts by Netflix Tundum.
Yeah, and so they asked her to do a little animation demonstration. So she animated a little herself kissing a frog.
Oh, how amazing.
Yeah, but we just did it like a day or two ago, so she didn't send it to you in time. So you could,
next time we'll show it.
Watch this, actually. Enable. Oops.
Yeah, sure. That's okay.
I don't know if Traven can change something on his side, whether you can change. I don't know if he can do that or not on the fly, but we're out of time basically. But Danny, I wanted to take just a second again, because, you know, you are somebody who is amazing and a businesswoman and constantly creating films. You've already created in your young life, over 11 award-winning films, not just, you know, films, award-winning films. So talk a little bit about your business, put it out there about what your business is, because people could be hiring you to animate right now. Yes?
I've got several projects in-house, including one top secret animation project in collaboration with Boots of Bullying. So I will let you do more details when it's announced.
Yeah, okay. Really just, it's Boots of Bullying. So it's an animation short that they're trying to pitch to the networks. And she's got a whole series that she's working on with her students.
With my team of students.
And her team and so on. That's the first big one. And the second big one she's working on right now
is the CBS Pipeline Challenge. We are going to pitch a film to one of the five, to each nonprofit to see which one's the best one.
Yeah, and also with SIGGRAPH.
Okay, and with SIGGRAPH, we're developing the graphics.
So that the SIGGRAPH is a big one, because you guys know what SIGGRAPH is.
Yeah.
Crystal's calling me.
Uh-oh, people are calling you. And you're almost
We're going to have you back on. We're going to have you back on when you find your true love on the show.
Yes.
Probably with Shannon. It's going to happen.
Okay.
Thank you. I also want to say, Sandy, that I don't know how you felt about it, Nancy, but one of the most amazing things in this season of Love on the Spectrum was watching how everybody interacts with their people, with their team, like how Danny interacts with you and with her uncle, and how some of the other characters interact with their roommates. I just thought it was really interesting, because we really got to see how hard you guys work to set them up for success, and how hard it is sometimes to let them go and do the thing that you set them up for the success to do. And Danny, I was really seeing not as much on your part, because I think they edited that out, but how frustrated you guys get when we're still in there trying to support you. Is that a fair statement?
When
not as much Danny. Yes. I mean, I saw the young guy at the Ren Fair, and every time his mother would say anything to him at all, and he was like, oh, and I feel like that's my house right now. I say, oh, are we going to do, oh, mom.
James.
I felt like you know, I really had a heart for that, Sandy. We work so hard to support them to be able to do the things that they do. It's very hard to stop it, Danny. When it's time for you to go do your thing, it's very hard for us to not be like, can I come too? Can I watch you at the table have your blind date? You know, which of course, you know, you don't want us to, but we want to.
Yeah, it was really hard for Patrick and I, because all the filming that was done, we were not allowed to be there. Not even here at the house when she was with the, not that we were not allowed. It was just better that, because they wanted her to be herself.
Yes.
They didn't want her us around to try to, you know, she could try and please what, you know, say what we wanted her to say. They wanted her to say, just be herself. And so they asked us not to be there when she was filming, and we never were, other than the ones that when they actually filmed us together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah,
oh, it's clear.
Having her leave and having her be around was just totally her without us. And, you know, she did great.
It's clear, though, how much everybody is cared and looked after and how much you guys, you know, deeply are involved in their lives. But it was also clear that from the adults on the spectrum perspective, that they would like to be able to do their own thing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's different for themselves. Am I wrong, Danny?
You want to do that? Right?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that.
The reason why I do is because I want it to always be independent and be out there. Always be out there.
Yes.
Well, you are.
Sandy, amazing.
You're very proud of her, and your support for her is so good.
But I still have to, sometimes even now, I still have to like
prompt me. By prompting me, like, for example, say deeper, which means explain even more.
Because she'll, if she has to, she'll get away with just yes, no.
Yes.
But my prompt is deeper. That means talk for about that.
There we go.
That means explain.
Well, you're a good team. You're a good team. We thank you so much for being here. We want to remind everybody that we're going to debut that episode of Stories from the Spectrum with your part two in the series. That'll be tomorrow that will be on. So tune in to see more about Dani and how she got to be who she is today. And definitely watch Dani and all the other people on Love on the Spectrum US. It's on Netflix now, and it's, my face hurts from smiling so much.
It's a great show. We encourage everybody to watch it and see how Dani does in the dating world. We're going to have you back, Dani, when you find your true love. Count on that.
Yeah, I can't wait to tell you when I find the right love. Put me on the show.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. Right. You can bring them with you.
It's still date.
It's a promise.
I can still date.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I want to be a matchmaker. I want to help you find the right guy.
Really? You can?
I'm going to be looking. I'm going to be looking.
Shannon, help us, because she doesn't listen to me.
Please do, Shannon.
I'm going to be looking, Danny. All right. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And in parting, Nancy, just want to remind everybody, tune in tomorrow, because that second episode of Stories from the Spectrum, and Dani will be featured on it, but there are several other individuals. It's all content that is created by and for people who are neurodiverse. And we've got some amazing, I'm just always blown away by the talent pool that is out there, Nancy. So I'm so excited. Carrie Magro is one of the people that's going to be featured on tomorrow's episode.
That's
so
great.
We want everybody to tune in and see that. But we'll be back tomorrow. And then just a programming note that we are off all of next week for a little break, a little hiatus, because the week after Memorial Day, we're going to be back and in the studio.
Exciting.
It is. Exciting. I can't wait for everybody to see it. I can't wait for it to be done. We're so close. But I might be doing some live feeds from Texas next week. I'm going to be in Texas. And so I might do an occasional live feed. But other than that, we're going to be playing reruns. I know it's a bummer, but everybody has to do it from time to time. Yeah. So tune in tomorrow. But until then, give your kiddos a hug from me.
Give yourselves a hug from me. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye-bye for now.
of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike? Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.